please be seated in the presence of the Lord. It's one thing for us to worship and praise and be appreciative of the blessings of the Lord. There is a lot of that going on. And in the Pentecostal and non-denominational churches, you find a lot of praise and a lot of worship. And that is as it should be, because we really feel like that he deserves the praise. Am I right about it? I don't think there's a person in this place would not say that Jesus deserves the praise. Amen. And I've even heard people say, I was created to praise him. And I've heard that before. Now, but when I look in the scripture, I see just something a little bit different there. When I go even to the book of Genesis, the first chapter. Now, we're going to do a few scriptures tonight. I don't plan on being here for you a long time. And usually preachers say that, but they don't really tell the truth when they say that. But I'm going to try to hold to that, all right? Amen. But usually, when I go to the scripture in Genesis, the first chapter, I see the design of man that God has made. And there is an ancient mandate, even in Genesis, the first chapter and the 26th verse. You know, he says in that scripture, I'm not going to go to it, but it says, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. And the first statement that he makes about man is, let them have dominion. He didn't say, let them praise me. He didn't say, let them worship. The first statement was, let them have dominion. So we know the original intention for man was that he was to take dominion. There are many things that you can do. You can humble yourself before the Lord. You can cry out tears. You can change your will to his will. You can do all those things. But until you begin to take dominion, you have not obeyed the ancient mandate. The design for God has been from the beginning that we would take dominion. You know the story. We fell. Our experience has been the experience of fallen man. We have many testimonies about rescue from God, many testimonies about being beneath and God coming and getting us. But the original design that God had for men and that God has for you is that you are to reign. You are to reign, to rule in this life. Until that happens, you're still after it. You're still trying to make your way up to it. But the design is that you reign. This particular scripture talks about something that was outrageous in the kingdom, that death should reign. If you look throughout the creation time, the days that God created things, you will not find a day when God created death. But death came because man was so powerful that when he made one mistake, he plunged the entire universe under the curse of death. Death stepped up an imposter. Not the design of God, not meant to be, not the one that was the anointed one, but he stepped up and reigned. To this day, we fear death. To this day, we rush across the street. To this day, we watch different things because death has been such a monster. Jesus came to reverse that, to take the teeth from this monster and to bring in an age where death did not give you fear. Even to be absent from the body when we leave, when we expire, is to be present with the Lord. Funerals like they used to be, should not be anymore. because the Lord Jesus tore the door off of death, made it a passageway into the arms of Jesus. We are not to sorrow like people that have no hope. When believers die, there should be a celebration because they're moving into gain. There should not be weeping and gnashing of teeth when a believer dies, because we understand that the Lord has now abolished death for the believer. We have been taught immortality. We shall live forever. You need to think about that a little bit. For God has designed you not only to be in this part, but when you leave here, immortality. You're going to be immortal. You're going to be immortal. You're going to be immortal. Oh, my God. This is a powerful thing. We see in scriptures I have here, I want to let you know that it is now the time for us to move into a part that is supernatural. Please do not get used to being normal. Please do not get comfortable with natural remedies. Please do not just allow your natural mind to rule. We have been made like God. We go beyond normal thinking. Some of the things we do are foolishness to the natural mind. The intellect cannot fathom that you can pour oil on somebody, lay hands on them, and cancer disappear. It just can't fathom that. It cannot fathom taking two fish and five loaves of bread and breaking them up and giving God thanks and feeding 5,000 people. But that is what you are in now. You have moved into a place that is supernatural. In the morning, you should expect a supernatural visitation from God. Don't just get up normal. Don't just get up natural and walk out just right, left foot, right. No. Expect the supernatural to come in from God. Hallelujah. God has designed you for the supernatural. This is the reason you have trouble. Because you keep trying to fit in. You keep trying to take sides. And we're not going to take sides. We're going to take over. Hallelujah. This is the design that, and the Lord said, I wish you were hot or cold. But because you're in the middle somewhere trying to fit in, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. He wants you either hot or cold. Either you're going to move in this thing or you're going to move in the other thing. But God has designed for you. The design from the beginning was for you to be like him. There is a scripture that says, imitate God like children imitate their parents. You see how children imitate their parents? Put on their clothes, shoes too big, hat too big, coat too big, but they're walking around with it on. That's you when you begin to act like your daddy. Shoes might be too big, praise God, but these are my daddy's shoes. Coat might be too big, but this is my daddy's coat. Hallelujah. I need you to understand, this is not just about an inspiration. This is not just about you coming in and getting a good feeling. That is not what this is all about. This is time for training for reigning. This could be a month course, but I'm going to give you a little bit of it tonight. This is what God has designed for your life. You're not supposed to just be sitting down listening to gospel music because it make you feel good. No. You are to learn how to be like your daddy. Hallelujah. Scripture tells us certain things we can say and it come to pass. Hallelujah. In the original scripture, Genesis 1:26. I'm going to give you these scriptures. You don't have to look them up right now, but at a certain point, write them down. I didn't get a chance to get all the scriptures in. Genesis 1:26 was when the Lord, I'm going to give you about four or five scriptures right now. I just want you to write the scriptures down. Look them up when you get home. Deuteronomy 28:13. And the Lord said, you shall be above only. You shall not be beneath. What does that tell you? God wants you in a higher place. You shall not be beneath. You shall be above only. You will not be beneath. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? God designed you to be in the high position and to remain there. Matter of fact, when you get under the circumstances, you ain't got no business down there. Hallelujah. That's why you get depressed, because you say under the circumstances. You don't have no business under the circumstances, because the Lord said, you shall be above only. So you have to come to the house of God and get the praises going so you can go higher. Thank you, Jesus. So you can go higher and get to the point where you belong. In the book of Psalm, the Lord said, I got to read this one. In the book of Psalm, the 8th chapter, you've heard this one before. I got to read it for you. Psalm 8, it starts out, oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Remember that one? In the 8th chapter, I'm going to start out at the 4th verse. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I'm in King James. And the son of man that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Now, my translation in the middle says a little lower than God. Not just angels, a little lower than God. And hast crowned him with glory and honor. I hear people say, no glory. No, give me no glory. Well, God gave you some. He crowned you with glory and honor. You need to stop apologizing for the glory that God has given you. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things. How many things? How many things? Thou hast put all things under his feet. Are you getting a picture of your position? Are you getting a picture of how God designed you? This is also a reason why things are not working, because God can't move until you get into position. Hallelujah. So some stuff stopped working. When you start out, you could just cry and God will come and rescue you. You know, he sees the tears. But after a while, mercy is not what God wants to use with you. After a while, you cry, and he'll walk by and say, you better get up. you better stop crying and get up off there and get on your feet and start speaking. Hallelujah. Psalms 115:16, these are the scriptures that give us the dominion design. This is what it says, Psalm 115:16. The earth, even the heavens are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. Oh, my God. The earth hath he given to the children of men. We love to say God is in control. God is in control. And yes, he is. But he put earth into the hands of men. Stuff ain't happening because you didn't know how to make it happen. And so God got to wait until you learn the family business. And when you learn how to do it, then he can step in and move. This is why you hear silence. This is why there's no move, because you got to get into position first. Matthew, the 17th chapter and the 20th verse said, if you got faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. And the last part of that verse says, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Not God, you. Nothing, we know nothing is impossible to God, but did you know that you are to walk in a lifestyle where nothing is impossible? Did you know Jesus said that? Did you know Jesus said nothing is to be impossible unto you? Let's worship him because he shared his power with us. I don't know anybody else with all power that would share it with anybody. But our God did. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. And we know the scripture in Mark, the 11th chapter, tells us, whosoever shall say to the mountain, do you mean to tell me we got to go around talking to stuff? If you're going to rule, you're going to talk to it. Yes, we begin by praying to God about it. That's how we start off. We start off speaking the word of God. The scripture says that if you abide in him and you let his word abide in you, say, then you shall ask what you will, and it will be done to you. This is a readjustment of mankind, placing us back in the position we fell from. God is not satisfied as long as you are out of place. God cannot move as long as you are out of order. God cannot give you his greater miracles until you learn how to use your words as a sword. You have been using your words to communicate. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Rise up. Tell somebody, rise up. Tell them, rise up. Thank you, Jesus. There are certain people in certain positions, and even though they're human, they have more power than other people. When you go into a courtroom, the man or the woman in the black robe, if they say it's going to be 15 years, praise be to God, guess what? It's going to be 15 years. Now, the person in the security guard or all the people around the lawyers, they can say what they want to. But the one in authority, the one who has the authority can speak. Jesus said, whosoever shall say, woo, glory to God. I tell you, that set me off when I read that. I said, do you mean to tell me that I can begin to speak? You mean to tell me my words? Yes, your words. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. And now you've got to now adjust your heart and get your believing in this thing now. You know, you believe when your back is up against the wall. Many of us don't believe until our back is up against the wall. Well, you need to get that back up against the wall belief when you open your mouth, so that what you say will come to pass. Jesus spoke on one occasion. We worship him and we praise him, and it is right for us to do that. But he said, these works shall you do. And then he said, even greater works shall you do, because I'm going back to my Father. It blows our mind when somebody say greater works than Jesus. Well, when Jesus came, the blood had not been shed. But the blood been shed. Hallelujah. And the sacrifice has been made. And now it's time for all those that are called to step up into their position. And when you step up into your position, you're like the woman or the man that puts on the black robe and sits behind the bench. When I say it's going to be some time, it's going to be some time. God has put you. He worked effort, great effort, prayed till sweat like drops of blood fell from his body, hung there until all the charges against you were dropped, hung there on the cross until every sin was paid for and every sin that ever will be has been paid for, hung there until when you fall on your face, all you have to do is confess your sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and get back up on the bench and begin to speak. Even though you made a mistake, let the sin be washed and get back up there. This is the time that God is expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Hallelujah. He sat down at the right hand expecting. Why is he expecting? Hallelujah. Because he shed his blood. There were things that I learned when I started looking at this. I started reading Kenneth Hagin's stuff because he was a person that came off the bed of affliction. He was born with several blood diseases, of deformed heart and blood disease. But he came off the bed of affliction. So I want to read about him because I love to read about people that are moving in authority. And he taught this lesson, seven steps to the highest kind of faith. Now, you know, seven steps to the highest kind of faith. Oh, I'm going to read that. I'm going to memorize that one because I want to know the seven steps to the highest kind of faith. Show me that. And I memorized the whole thing. I'm just going to share this with you because you need to know what puts you on the bench of authority. You need to know what puts you into position of authority. First thing he said you got to do for the first step, you got to believe the integrity of the word of God. You got to believe that the word is near you, that the word is God. Hallelujah. The word was with God and the word is God. There will be nothing else you will speak, no language you will speak that will be like the word of God. Nothing alive like the word of God. Nothing with power that will come out of your belly, through your lips, like the word of God. Nothing as powerful as when you stand and speak the word of God. Expect the power to flow. Oh my God. Nothing you will say will be equal to when you speak his word. Nothing will have the same results. You can walk in a dark place. And it can be dark all around. And when you speak the word of God, light comes. Power comes. Anointing comes. Why has God put me in this situation? You bring the light. You're complaining about being in the middle of darkness. But if God didn't have you there, where would the word come in to change the situation? God spoke, and after 6 days, an entire universe had been created that came out of his mouth. Do you know that that same word is now in your mouth and in your heart? Do you know the expectation of God is that if he could create something in 6 days, what can his people create during the time that you are here on this earth? If he spoke 6 days and he teach you the same thing, oh my God, if he spoke 6 days, planets, solar systems, universes were put in place, mountains, hills, oceans. What about you? Oh my God, he is shaping you. He is moving you. He is designing you. What are the rough places? Why is it that I have rough places? He is designing you. You got to speak in a certain way. You got to have a certain touch. You got to have a certain intonation when you speak the word, God. Sometimes you got to shout it. Sometimes you got to whisper it. Sometimes you got to sing it. But get it out there so that the power can come. You are not to be normal. You are not to be natural. You are connected to the supernatural. It'll make you shout, but that's not all the power. It'll make you dance, but that's not all the power. It'll make you lift your hand. It'll make you cry. It'll make you lay out, but that is not all the power. Oh my God, you can walk in a room where death is hovering. You come in with the word and turn the funeral into a celebration because of the power that is in you. Oh my God. Second thing, believe that you've been redeemed. Colossians 1:12. says this. I said, I memorized it. Giving thanks to the Father who made us meet, in other words, qualified us, but to partake of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Sister, brother, you have already been redeemed. And in that redemption, he qualified you to be a partaker, hallelujah, of the saints in light. He delivered you from the power of darkness. You ain't got to fight the devil face to face. The devil is under your feet. You've been delivered. You need to remind the devil, now come on. You ain't got no business up in here. You know I've been delivered from the power of darkness. Delivered you from the power of darkness and translated you into the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom of his dear Son. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed. Don't just call me an old sinner. I know we say an old sinner saved by grace, but I'm either old sinner or I'm saved by grace. One of those. Hallelujah. I'm saved by grace. I'm not going to call myself and try to humble myself down. Praise God. God has raised me up. I'm going to stay up in the glory. I'm going to stay up in the honor that God spent his blood of his Son to purchase for me. The third thing is, know that you're a new creature. Everybody's heard this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things. Everybody say all things. Say it again, all things. All things are become new. This means that whereas you used to just be able to eat 3 meals a day and everything was fine, that was when you were just trying to be normal. But man does not live by bread alone. Not the supernatural man, not the children of God. When you eat your breakfast, you're going to have to open up your scripture. When you go to lunch, praise God, get your hamburger, what you getting, salad, you're going to have to open up the scripture. When you have your dinner, you're going to have to open up the scripture, because man does not live by bread alone, but by every, okay, you might have 3 meals a day, but you ain't living. You might be breathing, inhaling, and exhaling, but you are not living the way God wants you to live. He wants you to raise the dead. He wants you to heal the sick. He wants you to make the crooked way straight. He has designed you to do it. You to do it. He has designed you to do it. Oh, my God. You are a new species never been seen before on earth. You are somebody, amen, who is now the righteousness of God. My sins have been paid for. If I trip and fall, I can confess my sin. First John, first chapter. I can confess my sin. God is not interested in talking about sin. That is the devil's work. He is interested in discussing what he has done for you and what you're doing with what he has done. So he will wash the stain. You tell, Lord, I messed up. He washes the stain and you become righteous again, and you can ascend to the bench one more time when he washes away the stain. Hallelujah. We are the righteousness of God. I have to take a whole sermon and do that one, but we are righteous. Righteous means being able to stand before God without any sense of guilt, shame, condemnation, or inferiority. There was an entire race of people that were taught that they were inferior. And because they were taught that they were inferior, it was difficult for them to have a great relationship with God, because they took the slave mentality. So it was difficult for them to move in righteousness, for it was ingrained in them that they were inferior. And so when they approach God, they approach it like a servant at the back door. Please, sir, would you give me crumbs? Please, would you just give me something? You know, and unrighteousness results from being feeling inferior. Jesus had come, taken away the unrighteousness, taken away the inferiority complex. Nobody should be inferior. Nobody should approach the throne of grace. This is what the Lord said. Come boldly. Don't come through the back door. Don't come through the side door. Come boldly to the throne of grace so you can obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I mean, get yourself up and go boldly. Hallelujah. Sometime I have to say before the Lord, I plead the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Seem like when nothing else works, I say, I plead the blood before the court of heaven. I plead the blood that took your promise from a mere promise to a blood-sworn oath. I plead that blood. My expectation that he will do what he said he would do because I'm going to come bold. Amen. We believe we are the righteousness of God. I'm about to finish this little seven part here. You are, the fifth step is believe that you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand, this is possibly the greatest move ever recorded by God for mankind. That God would take his operation from heaven and bring it down inside of your body. Oh my God, that God should live inside you, that you should be called the temple of the living God, that you should be called the temple of the Holy Ghost. The operation of God has moved from out there to inside here. You might be crying out for rain, but you need to understand there's a well. There's a well. You have to learn how to operate the well of the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to get too complicated here. First, part 6 and 7 is this. The sixth part is that you are the sons of God. This is what the scripture says. Beloved, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Do you know that you are known as the sons of God? Do you know you are in the ruling family of the universe? Do you know you are there in the ruling family of the universe? You are the children of the Most High God. Everybody know it. Do you know it? Do you understand that the scripture says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him? Oh my God. And the last step is this. There is a name that is above every name that was given to Jesus Christ, a position, a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Now, look at the position that you hold. You are those that speak the word. It's in your mouth, you speak the creative force of God. No one else is like you. You can speak his word out from your lips. You are redeemed. You are a new species. You are the righteousness of God. You are indwelt by the Spirit of Almighty God. You are called the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the sons and the daughters of God Almighty, and you have a name that is above every name. Oh, my God. It is time for you to move in the equipping. I wrote down a scripture. Philemon has one chapter in it, and the sixth verse says that the communication of your faith becomes effective as you acknowledge the things, everything which is in you in Christ Jesus. It will not be effective unless you acknowledge the things I just spoke about. You get up in the morning and you don't recognize them, then you will walk out ill-equipped. If you take time and understand who you are and the position that you hold, and that all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, this is a time when stuff is not happening because you are not stepping up to take your place. I'll say we are not stepping up to take our place. But from this point on, we will not live beneath our privilege. Everybody stand on your feet. Everybody stand on your feet. Somebody said they needed money. I heard a teaching one time. This man of faith was believing God for money. And the Lord said to him, "Say, it ain't up here. Say, it's down there. Say, this is what I want you to do. You have the power. Say, I'm not holding it up. Say, the devil is holding it up. You blaming me. You thinking you waiting on me. You ain't waiting on me. You blaming me. And there's a devil down there stopping the flow. When you desire finances, say how much you want. Speak it out. Use your authority. Tell the devil, take your hands off that money. In the name of Jesus, take your hand. You might have to tell him a few times. Take your hands off that 10 grand. Take your hands off that 100 grand. Take your hands off that 1500. Take your hands off. And the Lord said to him, "You're in a position now where angels are your ministering spirits. Say they serve you. Tell your angels, go get it for me. Go get my money. Bring it in." Did you know you have that authority? Get serious. Get serious. Times I've been looking for God to do something. Sitting there waiting, 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 waiting. Till I found my authority. Found my power. Glory be to God. It is now time for you to reign. You're going to speak some things you ain't never spoke before. Yeah, the enemy going to get mad. Who cares? I'm mad at him. He don't have nothing over on me. I'm angry at him. And the Lord say, resist the devil. He will now flee from you. Tonight, the word has come and set you in a place with a black robe on the bench. Hallelujah. It has come. Glory to God. It has come and placed you in a position. Read over your, speak the things that are yours. Because as you say them, you own them. As you say them, you own them. As you say them, you own them. And they are yours. Hallelujah. Close your eyes with me right now. Father, we thank you. How can we praise you enough for giving us this authority? You gave the earth to us. Help us to rise up and take down the mountains that need to be taken down. Help us to make the crooked way straight. You have given us the power to do that. Help us to fill up the valleys. Help us to make the rough places smooth. By your power and by your might. And when we stand before you, we want you to see what our faith in your word has done. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Be blessed. Have a great night.